And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and my co-host,
Rob Hubler.
And our special guest today for part two with Ray Barkey, a fantastic therapist in Chicago and Peoria. And Ray's got a really interesting topic for us today. Ray, why don't you tell us about yourself? Because people probably didn't listen to last week where you were also on, but the archive is getting up. So, Ray, give a two-minute introduction to who you are.
Well, I'm a mental health therapist. I'm a pastoral counselor. I'm a pastor in Peoria. I do the pastoral counseling and therapy in both Chicago and Peoria. I'm an Indiana-grown boy, and was a pastor for 25 years, and I've been a therapist for, during that time, and also now. That's about all that, I guess, matters.
And you've been with Art and Counseling Center for 3 years now in February, so one of my great therapists. So, Ray, why don't you introduce the topic that we're going to talk about today?
Well, it's a topic that's not real well researched, but it is in terms of double blind and all of that business because it is so personal. It's one of those topics in psychology that can't be studied by running rats around in a maze or doing studies that you set up because it's about what I call religious trauma. When someone says to me, well, I'm spiritual, not religious, I say, well, yeah, so am I. Because to me, religion is about rules, limits, it's about do's and don'ts, and it's about judgment.
And this comes from a minister who has been ministering on and off with different churches for 25 years.
I was ordained in 1984.
And by the way, if everyone doesn't know, our co-host here, our great co-host Rob, was also a minister for.
I was ordained in 1989.
Yeah, so a century or two you've been a minister.
Least that.
Yeah.
You may have been ordained in 1989, but if you grew up in a Protestant, your ministry started long before that. But of course, I see it because I'm a Christian minister, and I see it specifically, in my gay clients. Because many of my gay clients and a lot of gay persons seek me out as a therapist.
You say gay as opposed to LGBTQ.
I don't see very many women, and so gay is an appropriate way to say. And, you know, the LGBTQRSTUV, the alphabet soup thing gets very, very tiring.
No.
I really would prefer to go back to the way gay was used 30 years ago, which was any non-heterosexual expression of sexuality.
And this comes from somebody who knows. Okay, so Ray, so what is a spiritual emergency, and why is this an appropriate topic to talk about?
Well, spiritual emergency is a term that I've heard you use, Scott, but I use more spiritual trauma.
Spiritual trauma, okay.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of a crisis, whereas you're thinking of the trauma's already happened, and now what do we do about it?
Because the crisis, and I can talk about that at first. Because when a gay young Christian or lesbian Christian, when they're getting
this is the example that you're using. But again, it doesn't necessarily have to be regarding LGBTQ, right?
No, it can be no.
I mean, you could have a spiritual trauma from meditating and feeling like, that you've found you're disillusioned by the path that you're on.
Well, let's let Ray define what a spiritual emergency is.
Okay, go ahead. Spiritual trauma.
Spiritual trauma, right.
Spiritual trauma happens when there is a crisis of reality. And a person grows up being valued by, nurtured by, and encouraged by a community of faith. And then that community of faith says, oh, you're gay? Well, then you're unacceptable. So a place where a large part of a person's reality and their identity rejects them. You know, they know what they've been taught. And hopefully they haven't been through reparation therapy where someone's trying to straighten them out.
What does that mean?
Reparation therapy?
Yeah.
Reparation therapy is when you submit yourself or someone else submits you to therapy that is designed to change your sexuality.
And why does that work?
It doesn't work because sexuality is not something that is a decision. It might be able to change a behavior, but it cannot change an identity any more than you can put a white person in therapy and change them to an African American. No.
And it is illegal.
They've been outlawed in certain states in the United States.
It is, and it has been deemed unethical by the American Counseling Association, which is the largest counseling association in the country.
But some people, because of their significant religious background and the fervor that they have and the fear that they have of homosexuality, will, in very misguided efforts to save a person from their homosexuality, put them through this therapy.
Okay.
The best comment that I've ever heard about reparation therapy was from a young lawyer in New York who is the father of two sons. This has been 8 years ago. And he said, well, and he was telling his story at this gay Christian men's retreat of going through reparation therapy, which involves things that would be actually they're abusive and probably illegal just as assault. But he said that they equated not being able to play sports that involved balls as being a marker of gay or an indicator or the result of being gay.
Hmm.
Well, they taught him as part of his therapy how to play basketball and how to play baseball. And he said the only positive thing out of that reparation therapy was that now he will be able to teach his own sons how to play basketball and baseball. But that is how ridiculous some of this stuff is based on.
But in terms of like a spiritual trauma, that is taking, again, this sense of question within yourself and then almost re-traumatizing yourself. This isn't the original trauma. This is almost a secondary trauma that made it 1,000 times worse.
Sure, because it's reinforcing the fact that you are broken. You are bad. You are unacceptable. I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of gay people find themselves in Christian ministry, is that the church actually reinforces many of the qualities that a lot of gay men have, which is, and I don't want to get into the why, but the whats are they're good at music, they're more empathetic, they are good little boys because they're working real hard to behave because they know they are never going to be acceptable, or, you know, and a lot of this is on the subconscious level, okay? So they go into Christian ministers because a lot of Christian ministers takes skills that are very often found in GLBT persons.
Hmm. By the way, you are listening to
Mental Health Matters at KRUU-FM 100.1, The Voice in Fairfield, Iowa.
And our email is?
Mentalhealthmatters at KRUU-FM.com.
And if you need to reach Ray, you could simply email us or email Ray directly. Ray is one of my awesome therapists at the Art and Counseling Center. Ray, what is your email if they've got any questions about spiritual trauma?
It's Ray at Ardent Center, A-R-D-E-N-T, center.com.
Okay.
All right, let's go back here and talk about spiritual trauma. What happens when someone comes to you with a spiritual trauma? Give us an example.
Well, it'll often be that the spiritual trauma is first solved by either denying your sexuality or whatever difference it is that you have. Maybe it's the fact that you're dealing with depression. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. So you either deny one or the other because the two things are totally incompatible in your mind. Gay and Christian, incompatible.
Or depression and Christian because you're supposed to be upbeat or whatever it is. Or that you're supposed to be happily married when your partner is beating you. Or it doesn't really matter. And you create this, as you would say, a cognitive dissonance or a separation in your mind between two cognitive states, between two mental states that don't fit.
Yeah. And this cognitive dissonance, when it is about those kind of things that are so basic, creates trauma. Hmm. And it's what I call religious trauma. And it may not be solely what the religious community is imposing on you. It may be what you have taken from that and are imposing it on yourself and imposing it back on them and such.
So, yeah. Yeah,
you jettison one or the other. And when they come to me is either they have more integrity at that time than to be able to jettison one or the other and come to me and go, help me figure this out. You know, two parts of me are at war with each other.
I think that's a great way to describe it. Right. I mean, I hear it here in Fairfield regarding meditation. And they start imposing that the TM organization or movement has done this terrible thing to them, as opposed to them taking control and go, okay, I've got to, as you say, jettison or get rid of one part or find some way to have them come together. The organization, the TM organization or the religious organization, the Christian organization, is not the one having a gun to your head and doing these terrible things to you. You've taken on this terrible stuff yourself and you don't know what to do with it because the two worlds don't match. And somehow you've got to get these two worlds to either match together, or if they're not going to fit together, then you've got to get rid of one or the other or find another way to stop feeling that world is imposing on you. I don't know if that was a good way to describe it or not.
Well, and like I said, and to me it's about integrity. My coming out was about integrity.
Hmm.
My coming out within the gay community as a Christian is about integrity.
Hmm.
You know, and so that can be traumatizing. That spiritual emergency or that identity emergency, you know, it's almost like the development that you are having spiritually, whether it's meditation or Christianity or whatever, and is a train going on the track north, and then your sexual development or your emotional health or your emotional illness is a train going on the very same track going south. And they are eventually going to reach a point where they're going to smack straight right into each other. I don't like using the word straight, sorry, but smack into each other. They're going to fly. And it's going to, you know, it's going to create a mess. And often they come to me, or hopefully another counselor, to figure out how to take those two locomotives and turn them one of them around, so that those two locomotives, the spiritual part of you, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, whatever, and your sexuality, are going the same direction. And that same direction is what I would call existential wholeness. So that your Christianity and whatever it is, or your mental illness and your TM, or whatever, or your mental health and your recovery for that and those things, and your TM are working in tandem, like we see diesel engines going down the track now.
Ray, how do you do that? Do you do that like talk therapy, or what do you do to start getting that person to turn that engine around?
Well, in terms of my experience, of course, because my experience is limited, it's looking at, okay, what have you believed, and what do, what parts of both identities are legitimate? The assumption that gay and Christian, from the Christian point of view, are not acceptable together, and the assumption that Christian, that being gay and Christianity are not compatible from the other direction. Like these two trains coming from these two directions. Both of those assumptions have to be looked at. And what parts of Christianity? So there are times that we look at what I call the clobber passages in the Christian and the, we would call it Old Testament or the Scriptures, Jewish people would call them. And say, okay, what do these really, really talk about? Go back to the source stuff.
Not the interpretations of those sources.
That's right. And then also look at what your sexuality is and who you are, not who you think the gay community thinks you ought to be, or the lesbian community thinks you ought to be, or the TM community thinks you ought to be.
Or the Christian community thinks you ought to be. It's who you need to be. Stop feeling like the world is imposing on you and making you a victim. Only you can make yourself a victim, as I've said. You create your own power. And it's coming back to accepting that it's okay. It really is good for you to be who you are. You don't have to be in denial or have this cognitive dissonance, no matter what it is, no matter what you're fighting, that the trains can go in the same direction and work together.
And that the energy that created the dissonance can also be a part of the energy that creates progress.
Yes.
And can those two things exist at the same time? It's just like yesterday, I was working with a young man whose grandfather died recently. This happened to be a gay young man. And for the grandfather's generation, and the kid and the grandfather were both from Texas, which is not the most socially progressive area in the nation, the grandfather was a symbol to this young man of so many things, but one of which was acceptance. So he's sad because the grandfather has died. And he's feeling very, very powerless. So we explored what the grandfather meant to him and what qualities he wanted, that the grandfather was very special. The grandfather was accepting of all persons, but was always doing something for someone. He was a very giving person. So we said, okay, so all right, let's not just sit in the sadness. You can feel sad. That's appropriate. You have loss. But what do you do to honor your grandfather rather than just sit there and feel sad? That's not honoring your grandfather. Well, he works in an industry where he travels a lot. So he's come up with two things. One, there's somebody who is also in his industry that's become a bit of an outcast because people are afraid of him because he has reached a level of integrity that he says, I'm an alcoholic and I'm in recovery, and he has shared that. That scares people who haven't come to their own sort of peace with their own addiction. And then, since he travels a lot and Grandpa was always giving, he's going to start a deal where he collects the hotel soaps and such. So you never, and because Chicago, we have a significant number of homeless kids on the street, and those charities that work with them are always begging for toiletries.
How interesting.
Don't bother with the shower caps. Nobody wants those. okay, so that's an illustration of how two things can exist at the same time. And you can honor the sadness, but you can also honor the memory of that person by doing something and empowering yourself. So you take that power of who you are as within your religion and look at what parts of that are legitimate for you and what parts are legitimate, period. What parts have been used by other people to manipulate you, and what parts have been used by yourself to manipulate you, whether individually manipulate you or manipulate you as a group. And then you also look at what those special things are about you that are there, that are not only common in, say, like the gay or the lesbian communities, but what parts of those that you can own legitimately. And you hook that together with that other engine, and you can have an extraordinarily powerful life. Now, where you see, in the case of here in Chicago, you see the homeless gay youth that are on the streets not as a problem, but you see them as a part of your community. But if you were looking at them just as a social aspect, they're a problem. They lower, they cause issues in the community. They supposedly lower property values. I'm not too sure how they do that. But all kinds of things. But when those kids needed some defenders, who was it that came to their defense? It was the Christian and the Unitarian, the Unity, and the Buddhist religious organizations that said, no, they're not a problem. Okay, if they're a problem, they're our problem because we're a community. And that's one of those places where your religious values, that at one point you thought was, so antithetical to your identity that it caused all this trauma. So how do you recover from trauma? Well, one way is to be re-empowered. So, you empower yourself by taking that religious ethic of caring for others, and you wed it together to do something very powerful for, and therefore empower someone else. That to me is the recovery is, you can do a lot of talk therapy, and you need to, and you need to do somebody. Find somebody that is not going to devalue either one. And there are a lot of therapists, sadly, there are a lot of therapists in the community of therapists who feel that any kind of religion is negative. And specifically in the GLBT community, any kind of religion is negative. Well, that lack of integrity with the therapist brings their own clients to a lack of integrity when they aren't trying to integrate the two.
Ray, let me interrupt you for a second for our integrity here. This is KRUU Radio, FM 100.1 in Fairfield, Iowa, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler.
And our special guest, Ray Barkey at Arden Center. So, Ray, in our next couple minutes here to close out, I love how you said that, because I've trained therapists for years as a supervisor, as you know, because I was your supervisor. And one of the things I'm really big into is being pragmatic and being concrete, and not just being talk, but do, act. Because just going into how you feel doesn't get you out of how you feel. It keeps you trapped in how you feel. And just talking about what you think keeps you lost in your head sometimes. And so sometimes you need to act and make a change and get that you are in control of what's going on. And so some of the best things you could do, as you say, is to volunteer or to create something for somebody else. So you're connecting to somebody else as you are connecting to yourself. You're doing something about what's going on, not talking about it. And then you could come back to how you feel and what you think, so you can create a new sense of self. So it all comes tandem, one after another. And so if you feel that cognitive dissonance, regardless of if it's because of your spiritual crisis is because of a relationship with God or with the church, or in my case, with the temple. But if it could also be a spiritual crisis in a number of other ways. If you're feeling that dissonance between yourself, who you feel that you truly are, and some organization, it doesn't matter what the organization is or what the thing is, then come back to taking back control and do something. Create something powerful and positive and make a difference. And that's where healing takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another way you'd say that, Ray?
Well, it's, you know, I can still remember the first lecture of my Psych 101 class at Ball State University, where I started school. I can remember for a couple of reasons, because one, the professor was a very intriguing man that looked a little bit like Hobbit, a hobbit, but looking back. But he said two things that you must learn. Until you learn these, you will not understand psychology and behavior. And Ball State was a teaching college, so they went at things from an educational point of view. And he said, there is no education until there's behavioral change. The indication of true learning is behavioral change. And he said, and there is no quest for learning until there is frustration. And to me, those things are very integral to my counseling, because it's discovering, learning, questing for a new way of thinking, a new way of learning, and a new way of doing.
Yeah.
And the new way of doing, of stopping maybe a compulsion, picking up a positive behavior in its stead, is an indication that both the client and myself have hooked those engines together, whatever the various engines are in their lives, and they're going down the track in the same direction, rather than pulling at each other, or, you know, going in the opposite direction, or crashing into each other by trying to take dominance over that person's life.
Well, thank you, Ray. We've got just a minute here to close on out. Rob, anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, Ray, you've got a. I don't know if the word career is the right word, but anyway, you've had a great career. It's been really interesting listening to you, and particularly talking about the spiritual trauma. I just had a bout, I would call it, with somebody who had a spiritual trauma just Sunday at a church here in town, who called me, and it's wonderful to talk to you. I really appreciate your time.
Well, it's been a privilege to be a part of what y'all are doing out there in Fairfield. I hear some great things about Fairfield as a community, integrating themselves and being much more integral to who Fairfield is, not just the TM community, but the whole community there.
Actually, the LGBT community is growing here and has begun to really exert itself into the community, and it's been very interesting watching that, and also watching the response of people here in Fairfield.
So close on out. Close this out, right?
All right. You are listening to Mental Health Matters, and with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler. We'll be back again next week. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Ray, so much. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact Ray at ArdenCenter.com or contact us directly at mentalhealthmatters@KRUUFM.com. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
All right.